This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Two former UFC stars are returning to mixed martial arts for the first time in nearly a decade. Ronda Rousey will be taking on fellow combat sports trailblazer Gina Carano, who was in The Mandalorian for a moment. I think she kind of got written off because of her takes around COVID, perhaps.
She got a career directing.
I don't know any of that, but she was in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, good for her.
And they'll be going at it on May 16th. Okay.
I thought Ronda Rousey quit because she had some concussion issues.
Well, they both quit. That's what I'm saying. That's why they're making their return. You don't make a return if you don't quit. Both of them have been out for a decade. Are you going to argue with everything I say today? Yes, Ronda Rousey retired from the sport. She is now returning from the sport.
I know, but concussion issues are a huge thing.
Well, 10 years, maybe you got her fixed up.
I hope so.
Yeah. So they'll be back.
And I wasn't arguing with you.
You are arguing with everything I say.
I'm not arguing with everything
you're just. You're just a delusional fan, and I'm trying to help you, but you won't help me.
Tanner got into the conversation, and I kind of agree with what Tanner said. Like Tanner was saying, I cannot root against the team during the game, but I understand what
if it is a meaningless game at the end of the season.
And the win would
give you a top six pick, and a loss would give you the number one pick. I am rooting for the loss.
You're rooting for the Raiders.
Is this a Broncos show or Raiders?
Well, you'd be rooting for the Raiders.
The Raiders play the Broncos in the last game of the season every year?
No, but that's just an example.
It's just you're making that leap for your little argument here. If you're telling me by getting to three wins as opposed to two, you would rather three wins and not get a number one pick, but instead get a number five pick. That's radical to me. That's insane to me. You would root for three wins. The difference between two and three.
It's a lot of two-win teams.
And you're rooting for three wins to make you feel better and be able to sleep that night. No, I'm rooting for the loss. So you can get the number one pick. Am I rooting for tanking when they're 6-6? Am I rooting for tanking when they're 6-9 even? No. But when you're telling me you get down to the final game of the season and you're a two to three win team, you're rooting, and it's the difference between the number one pick and the number five pick. You're rooting for a third win so you can get the number five pick. That is insanity to me. And yeah, I know, there's no guarantee at one. But the further you go down the draft, the least likely it is a guarantee. And the last time the Broncos were in a position to get a top two pick, that pick won them the Super Bowl. Von Miller. We have the most recent Super Bowl victory happen because the Broncos were so bad under Josh McDaniels that they fired him at the end of the season, and that's a form of tanking when you start firing people in charge, when you start benching players that are good, but you don't want to waste their production, you don't want to get them hurt. So then you want to also evaluate rookies. You want to evaluate younger talent. You want to evaluate unknowns. That is a form of tanking. You can call it what you want, whatever makes you feel better about it. But when guys start getting benched, when they're fully healthy, that is a form of tanking. And in the NFL, they just don't do it for that many games. The NBA, certainly. They could do it for half of a season, if not more. It's just not as obvious in the NFL because they get down to the final week of the season and they evaluate whether it matters or not to win. Or if you would rather get a top five pick or a top one pick. And I agree with this text. Like, yeah, you have to trust that your management's good. Aaron says having a good draft pick is great, but if they're not going to draft the right guy, I'd rather they not have it. Well, that also goes into, do you trust the people that are running your team to make the right decision? When they drafted Bradley Chubb over Josh Allen, we all agree now, that was not the right decision. It was one I predicted. I predicted that John Elway was not going to go with Josh Allen because he was gun-shy after the Paxton Lynch debacle. I predicted that they would draft Bradley Chubb. I think that was the only one I've ever really gotten 100% right. And I'm not happy about that. Faith says, maybe you two need to battle in the ring. Oh, I would be Ronda Rousey for sure. You'd be the fired actress one.
I'd be Holly Holm.
No, it's between these two. You can't just see you're changing the argument again. You're creating your own argument. You're adding someone that's not even going to be in this fight. I would be Ronda Rousey. You would be Gina Carano.
Well, I'd be Holly Holm because she's a Broncos fan.
This is why we can't take you seriously in these debates. Because you're just obsessed. You're obsessed with the Broncos. It's all you. It's like your focus, your fixture. You're fixated on it. And you get your little Broncos onesie on Sunday, and you're like, they're going to win no matter what.
Well, didn't Holly Holm also win?
She beat Ronda Rousey, yeah.
Ronda Rousey?
But the two that are going to fight is not Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm in this scenario. It's Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano. They will be fighting. So in this scenario, you have to pick one of those because they're the two that are going to be fighting.
I'd be Gina Carano because she was in Deadpool.
Okay. Just weird stuff going on here. Just weird, randomness, fanboy stuff. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Is Michael, surely he's not right. Mark Cuban had this to say about tanking. He tweeted this out. It's a long tweet. I won't get into it. Stickman says, Brady, I don't know how you do it every day. I don't know either. I don't know. I mean, seriously. I want my team to be good for the future. And yeah, I'm still rooting for my team. I'm still rooting for the growth of players to be good. But the difference between 2 and 3 wins, I don't care. If the Nuggets could go from 30 wins to 35... and it's going to screw up their chances at a lottery pick, I'm rooting for 30. It doesn't do you any good to win meaningless games. And I've learned that the hard way because I was once like you too, Michael, when I was a young lad. All I wanted was the Broncos to win on Sunday. But then I started thinking, it doesn't matter if you win 5 games. If you're just going to win 7 the next year, and then you're going to win 6 the next year, and then you're going to win 7, and then you're going to win 8. Remember when Mike Shanahan just kept going 8-8-8-8-8-8-8-8-8-8-8? You're in no man's land there. You're in no man's land. Mark Cuban says, why the NBA should embrace tanking? The NBA has been misguided, thinking that fans want to see their teams compete every night with a chance to win. It's never been that way. Which is not, I don't agree with that. What I'm talking about is a different scenario than what Mark Cuban's talking about on a nightly basis. Because every night I watch the Nuggets, I want them to win. Every night I watch the Broncos, I want them to win. Every night I watch the Avs or the Rockies or the Rams or the Bears, I want them to win. He says, few can remember the score from the last game they saw or went to. They can't remember the dunks or the shots. Really? Jamal Murray made a shot? What they remember is who they were with. I'd rather watch alone. Their family, friends, a date. That's what makes the experience special. What, who, Mark Cuban, do you even know who your fans are? Maybe they fan differently in Dallas, but that's a little extreme. He says the one way to get closer to that is via the draft and trades and cap room. You have a better chance of improving via all three when you tank. We didn't tank often, only a few times over 23 years, but when we did, our fans appreciated it. Which, again, I can get some of that thinking late in the season, but not on a nightly basis. And not saying, you don't remember the shots, you don't remember the scores, you don't remember... That's insane to me. The NBA should worry more about fan experience than tanking. It should worry more about pricing fans out of games than tanking. You know who cares the least about tanking? A parent who can't afford to bring their three kids to a game and buy their kids a jersey of their favorite player. Tanking isn't the issue. Affordability and quality of game presentation are. Game presentation, if you're talking about officiating, is certainly an issue, and I talked about that yesterday. So I want to get to this. I want to unpack this more. Where Mark Cuban's going with this. Because he's basically saying tanking is fine because fans don't care anyway, whether you're winning or you're losing. And that is, I think, way more extreme than anything I've tried to throw at Michael today. 16 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, set to join me in just a moment. I want to get his thoughts on Christian Fourier's comments from a week ago. Tad Boyle, you know, what the state of the Colorado Buffaloes on the basketball side of things. We'll get into all of that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
For nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show here. Joining me now in the First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, was in the news a lot last week. You got former Buffs calling out Coach Prime. You got Tad Boyle. I thought it was a really passionate post-game press conference after the Texas Tech game. You know, a lot of news surrounding those Colorado Buffaloes, Mr. Mark Johnson.
It is. Never a dull moment in Boulder, Colorado. One way or the other, we're going to make news. And, yeah, certainly on a number of different fronts, you saw that happening. So, yeah, you know, I've told you before, Brady, I'm an interesting businessman. And so it's certainly always interesting being there, which makes our job fun.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, with Christian Fourier's comments, what did you make of that? You know, I know he had his son was playing under Coach Prime, and he insists that that has nothing to do with his take on Coach Prime or anything like that. But I think it's fair to say he's not a believer in Mr. Deion Sanders.
No, if you've ever got to talk with Christian, and I certainly have over the years, obviously he was gone by the time I got here. But Christian is a very passionate guy. Since his playing days, he's gotten into broadcasting in the Boston area, being that he was a New England Patriot, of course. And so he's a very opinionated guy. He's got strong feelings on things. And, you know, I think if your jerk reaction, and I'm not going to say whether I agree or disagree, that's Christian's deal, his evaluation of things. And that's fine. He's allowed to have that. But just having a knee-jerk reaction, well, it's because of his son. I think that's a little intellectually dishonest, and I don't think that's fair to, you know, what Christian has created, what he's built over his time as a broadcaster over all these years. And so, you know, listen, I mean, you can talk to a myriad of former Buffs, and they're going to have a myriad of opinions on how things are being done, what they think of the process, and what they think of the way things have transpired in the last 3 years. You know, listen, when you're a former athlete and you bled and you sweat and you cried on those grounds, you're allowed to have an opinion, good, bad, or indifferent. And, you know, Christian Fourier certainly made his own.
Yeah, I mean, he did. And, I mean, It was just kind of fascinating to go through those comments, to listen to him. Obviously, as you said, very passionate about his Buffaloes. And he even said at the end of this thing, like, hey, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does well. And, you know, and I hope I'm the first one he tells off and tells you I told you so. My guess is he probably won't talk to him ever, Mark, probably. But, you know, and I was reading Sean Keeler's post in the Denver Post the other day, just about, you know, some former players coming out saying there's really no fence sitters when it comes to Deion. You either love the guy or you can't stand the guy. And I actually disagree with that, Mark, because I believe I'm one of those guys. There are things that I really like that he says. I like how he talks about his faith so much. I like when he does talk about helping young man grow. And I obviously like the entertainment value that he brings to a talk show host every single day. There are things that I don't like, so I think you can kind of ride the fence on Coach Prime.
Well, yes and no, because when you think about Deion Sanders, it's going back to the, you know, the mid 1980s when he was, you know, first coming up at Florida State. He's always been a guy that has polarizing opinions of him, and you know, when you're going to lay yourself out there like Prime does, you're going to get those kinds of reactions. And so I'm never surprised by that. I don't think Deion is surprised by that. If you get him into an honest moment, let him really kind of consider that. He understands that. When you're, and think about anybody within our society that has strong opinions, is a popular figure, is a prominent figure, and in this day and age of social media where you don't have to wait until a 10 p.m. newscast to hear about somebody. You can hear about them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on social media. They become very active there. Anybody in the world that is active on social media, there's going to be strong opinions about. So I'm not surprised by that. You know, and you know, I know how fans are. If you're somebody that loves Prime, you're immediately going to defend your guy. If you're somebody that doesn't love Prime, you're immediately going to jump on and go, that person's right. And it's based on nothing but your personal feelings instead of something that's actual and real and substantive. And so it's not surprising in any way, shape, or form. It's just kind of part of the deal. But here's the old idea. There's that great old line that says, whether it's positive or negative, if they're talking about you, that's a good thing. And people are always talking about Deion Sanders.
Yeah, 100% right. And I think all this just kind of boils down to how important a season like next year is going to be, Mark, because, you know, that first season, it was, you know, he was playing with house money. It didn't matter. You know, I know they won four games, but really it didn't matter. It was all about, okay, we're getting this guy here. He's going to start flipping the roster. We'll see. And then the next year was very good. And then obviously last year was a rough go for the Buffs. Does it feel like for the first time maybe there's a sense of real pressure on Deion Sanders next season, Mark?
Well, I think when you look at it, you know, this is, it's a bottom line business. We all know that. You know, Tad and I were talking about that last night on his show. It's a bottom line business, and especially if you're going to put yourself out there as Coach Prime does, then there's always going to be those kind of external expectations. And so, yeah, I do think, you know, when you come in and you talk about I'm bringing my loan luggage and, you know, the Louis and all that kind of stuff, and then you got an improved season of 4, then a 9, and then you take a step back, all of a sudden that's going to draw criticism. I mean, that's just human nature. And so you bet I think the stakes are, you know, raising or being raised here for 2026. And it's a heck of a schedule. And then on top of it, you know, as we all know in college athletics, when you start changing athletic directors, everyone starts wondering, where is this all going? What direction is it going to go? What's going to happen here? And so it just adds more intrigue, I think, to the storyline going into 2026.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. What did you? Now you're around Coach Prime a lot, Mark, and you've been around a lot of great sports minds. You just mentioned it with Tad Boyle. You and I are both on that side. I'm a big fan of Tad Boyle, and I've said this a million times. That's his job until he doesn't want it anymore, regardless of what people are saying right now. But in your mind, visiting with Coach Prime and seeing, you know, picking the football brain of his. Don't you feel like with Christian Fourier's comments that he's just, when he says, I don't think he's very bright, I don't think he can manage a game, I think there's a lot of flash, but there's no substance. What do you make of that specific string of comments?
Well, I don't, listen, you don't have to spend a whole lot of time around Coach Prime to understand that he's a very bright guy. I think I've probably brought or said to you instances where he has said things that I thought to myself, my goodness, that is really insightful. So saying that Deion Sanders is not an intelligent man, I will never agree with, because I think he's an exceptionally bright guy. You don't do what he has done beyond the physical aspect of what prime time was back in the day. The business acumen, the way he has marketed himself, the brand development, all the things he does indicate he's a very sharp businessman. He's a very smart guy. When you talk to him about things beyond, you know, have private conversations just about various things in life. He's a very bright guy. So I don't think that is true in any way, shape, or form. Now, if I don't know, since I've not talked to Christian since he's made a comment, if he's questioning what, you know, Coach Prime's, you know, football coaching IQ is, maybe that's what he's referring to, or I'm not sure. And then, you know, you can have that. That's a fair conversation with every coach in America. Is he making the right decisions? Is he calling timeouts at the right time? Is the way he's approaching game preparation? That's something that every coach, you know, we see that with Tad Boyle. You see that with Sean Payton. You see that with everybody, right? That's a fair conversation about any coach, because that's what those guys are paid to do. And so, you know, I think that's a fair conversation. I don't know if that's what Christian was referring to or not, but if you're just going to say from an IQ standpoint, that is not a true statement. Deion Sanders is a very bright man.
Yeah, and I do believe he kind of recovered a little bit from that, saying, you know, I was talking specifically about, you know, the football side of it. But even then, obviously some Buffs fans, especially Prime fans, are going to take that as a pretty significant insult. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And then meanwhile, Tad Boyle. You know, he wasn't holding anything back. He was very frustrated after the 78-44 loss to Texas Tech. I mean, he's bringing back his old Big Sky days and how they used to travel, and he's saying maybe we should start traveling like that. I had no problem with it. I know in this day and age, Mark, it can be, you got to be careful of what you're saying to your athletes or what you're saying in post game. But when you lose like that, man, I don't see how you can be anything other than absolutely frustrated.
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, I did tell Tad after we got him with the post game that he can make that change from a travel standpoint for his team, which didn't perform very well. But I did remind him that the play-by-play guy was outstanding in that game, and I fully deserved a flight home on a charter plane. So that was number one. Number two, if we're really getting to the point, and I want you to really, really consider what I'm about to say, because Jerome Tang has gotten kind of dinged for this week as well. Okay. Now the Jerome Tang thing, there's a lot of politics going on behind the scenes at Kansas State, because they're trying to get out of $18 million they owe him, and so they're trying to show cause. But if we're really getting to a point where we've got young men in college athletics who are 18 to 23 years old, let's say, and they're getting paid substantial amounts of money, and you can't start talking about maybe with the lack of effort or the lack of performance that we're seeing from these guys, maybe we should take stuff away from them. If that's crossing a line, we're doomed. We're all doomed, every single one of us. And athletics is doomed. Because I love how in college athletics, we like to walk this line depending upon when it is most comfortable for us. Right? Oh, we should pay them. They're adults. They deserve this. On and on and on and on and on until you start to really criticize them or hold them accountable. Then all of a sudden, they're kids again. You can't have it both. You've heard me say this before. You can't be partially pregnant, right? You either are or you're not. And so if we're going to pay them like grown-ups and we're going to pay them like professionals, they deserve to get, handled and, I think, criticized like professionals. Because, you know, pick your professional coach out there, right? Whoever it is, whether it was Bill Belichick back in the day or Mike Shanahan or you know, whoever. You pick those guys, Phil Jackson in the NBA. Those guys would say the same kind of things about their teams, and nobody would blink an eye because they're professionals. Well, guess what, gang? College athletes are professional athletes now. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, well said, as usual. You and I usually are, we see eye to eye on this kind of stuff. And, you know, I knew when Tad went off like that, I knew there was going to be a pretty large portion of not just Buffs fans, but basketball fans, whatever, really knocking him. And we've said it a million times, Mark. I mean, if you get rid of Tad, who are you going to go get? Especially now that you're paying Coach Prime what you're paying him.
Well, and I don't even understand what the criticism. You're in the business here, and you're going to hear a lot more than that than I am. I don't even understand what the criticism would be on something like that. Your team went out and got throttled by 30 points to the same team that you lost to at home just a few weeks before by, what was it, 2 or 4 points, and your team laid an egg, played horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to hold them accountable, and somehow that's being criticized? I guess my mind's not able to comprehend where that's an issue. He didn't say anything. He didn't call them by name. He didn't call them out individually. He said, we were awful, and we need to be better, and maybe we should take some of the comfort items we have away until we figure out how to play hard and actually live up to our contracts, by the way, which they do have. So I'm not sure. But, yeah, the criticism of Tan is always fascinating. I am never ceased to be amazed by the number of people that will come to me, and if they're honest and you have a real conversation, I lay out the facts of it. Okay, this is a job that every coach in America used to look at and say, that is a career-killing job to be the basketball coach at the University of Colorado. He has got the lowest payroll in the Big 12, hands down, not even close, how low his payroll is compared to everybody else. The facilities, from a basketball standpoint, are far below what most others are. And you lay all these things out, and you say, but he has, by the way, made this a perennial 20-win program over the course of his previous 15 years, but yet you want to criticize him. I said, just explain it to me. Help me understand, right? And once you lay the facts out, most people will stop with the emotional responses and actually have a logical, well-thought-out response, and they kind of go, oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But most fans don't want to do that. They just want to react, and they get mad because my team lost. I want them to win, and so let's fire everybody.
Mark, how long do you think Tad's going to want to keep doing this? Because Tad has talked about it. A lot of the same things you and I talk about, like our concerns about the way college sports is going. I just can't imagine if you're a coach in this industry and you started in one era and now you're at this stage of it. We know he's been frustrated with the way certain things have gone down, the under-the-table dealings that happened throughout college sports, and now all of this. I often ask myself, guys, not just Tad Boyle, but guys like Tad Boyle, how long do you want to keep doing this?
Well, first off, when you say guys like Tad Boyle, look around the country. Jim Boeheim, Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, on and on down the line.
Yeah.
The guys that are getting out of the business who are veteran guys, okay? The guys, you're not seeing guys who are 40 jump out of the business or 45. You're seeing guys who are in their 60s and in their 70s, who are just saying, yeah, it's a different world now, I'm getting out. Tad has got, as he likes to say, he's got enough fuel in the tank. And I'll tell you this, I'm around him all the time this time of year. We talk on a regular basis, almost daily. And the fire from a coaching standpoint is still there. Now, is it frustrating? Is it difficult to navigate this new world? And you're asking an old dog to learn new tricks? That's a frustration for him. And I don't think Tad's the kind of guy. I've never gotten a sense from him that he's the kind of guy that wants to coach until he's 75. You know, Tad is, what is he, 63 or 64 right now. And so I've always looked at it and thought, you know, that 65 to 67 range, my guess is, and he's never specifically told me, my guess is that's probably the range in which he probably, you know, he's got that brand new place over in Boulder Country Club, and he likes to golf, and my guess is you're going to find him there maybe playing. But he and Barnett will play 2 rounds a day like Gary's already doing, you know. And that's my guess when he probably gets out. I don't see it happening, especially when you look at this team he's got right now and how young it is. And if he can keep them together, and that's the big if in this time we're at in college athletics, if he can keep them getting together for a couple of seasons, I don't see him stepping down in the near future. I think it'll happen, you know, the not-too-distant future, just because I think he's the kind of guy, like I said, that 65 to 67 range probably where he's going to call it quits.
Yeah, probably so. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my man, always appreciate you just bringing the heat, man, like you always do. We come to expect it, and we love it.
It's always good to be on with you, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it.
All right, man. There's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, I mean, that's what I – listen, I can sit here and be critical and say, you know, the Buffs don't get out of the first weekend. That when they do go dancing, which, I don't know, is half of his time with CU probably, maybe a little less, they're going. They're going a good chunk, and that's great. But you just hear Mark say, like, he's understaffed. Like, he doesn't have they don't have the big budget, and they just put a lot of money into football now. So if you want to force Tad Boyle out of there, who are you going to get to turn this to turn this thing around and make CU like a dominant force in the Big 12. I think Tad is one of those really great coaches. I just don't know that the state of Colorado for a long time has been known as a basketball state. And yeah, CSU under Nico Medved, they caught, you know, what they go, 3 out of the last 4 years, they went dancing. And that's awesome, and that's amazing, and that's when I was saying maybe we're starting to see a change here. CU's kind of going the other way. But, I mean, I'm not – I know they got a new athletic director, but I'd be hard-pressed to say, we're gonna move on from Tad and try to get better, because Tad's a great basketball mind. No question about it. 39 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Oh, man, Thurbs just sent this to me from the Denver Nuggets X account. The Denver Nuggets organization was devastated to learn of the passing of legendary coach Doug Moe. Coach Moe was one-of-a-kind leader and person who spearheaded one of the most successful and exciting decades in Nuggets history. He will forever be loved and remembered by Nuggets fans, and his banner commemorating his 432 career victories as head coach will hang in the rafters to forever honor his incredible legacy. The organization's thoughts are with Doug's wife, Jane, his son, David, and all of his family and loved ones who are hurting in this moment. Doug Moe, legendary Nuggets head basketball coach, passes away. That's a tough one. I was going to get into some Carmelo Anthony Nuggets stuff, man, but it's been a weird week already, man. Get Robert Duvall yesterday, and then we hear that Doug Moe passes away. Now, for me, you know, he was my dad's guy. You know, he was one of the best. And my dad, he liked to clip all the Denver Post articles and the Rocky Mountain News articles. And he just would always have a ton of pictures and all that stuff of Doug Moe. So grew up thinking, you know, that's the man. And he was. He coached a lot of years, man. He coached with the Nuggets. First stint was 1974. Then he was back with the Nuggets in 1980 all the way to 1990. And then came back from 2002 as a coaching consultant. Man, Doug Moe. 46 minutes after the hour. That's a tough one. That's a tough one today. It's a whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's Voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Well, if you've been listening to KFKA for quite some time, or even specifically the last few weeks, months, you've probably heard about the Cascadia Project, the Colorado Eagles. Well, Greeley voters, I'm here to remind you that there is a special election happening this February, fairly important one. This was mailed back on February 3rd. Vote by mail or drop off at one of four secure locations. Election day is the 24th and must be received by 7 p.m. for ballot to be valid. If you want more details on this, go to greeleyco.gov for more. A yes vote is removing zoning ordinance 30 of Catalyst. A no vote means keep existing. A no vote means the Catalyst, the Eagles thing, all of that continues on and all is good. A yes vote removes the zoning ordinance, delaying the project. But as we've talked to Martin Lind on several programs here, not so sure if it just is a delaying of the product because he might look to move that somewhere else. So again, if you're into that, if you like the idea of Eagles coming to Greeley and businesses in the area, whatever, if you like that, cool. If you're opposed to it, if you're kind of like, well, is this going to mess with my, what's this going to do for the town of Greeley? Is it going to make it too crazy? Going to make it too busy? Whatever. Right now at this moment in time, I'm not really urging you to vote one way or the other. I'm telling you to go learn more about this because you have a few days to do so and vote yes or vote no, but make sure you try to educate yourself on what it means for the future of Greeley, either way you slice it. Again, ballots must be received by 7 o'clock on the 24th of February to be counted. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, I was going to get into the, well, I guess we still can. I mean, you know, the Doug Moe story, that's a tough one. But Carmelo Anthony, sticking with the Nuggets here, was it Vic Lombardi during the All-Star weekend, was asking him about his time with the Nuggets. And Melo said, I've been looking forward to coming to Denver for a long time. And Vic, I believe, said, you don't understand how many Nuggets fans want to see that fixed. Melo went on to say, I don't know what is there to fix. I'm good. I love Denver. I think this is a really weird, it's just turned out to be like this. Some Nuggets fans just absolutely hate Carmelo Anthony, the fact that he wanted out, the fact that he wanted to go to the Knicks. And some fans, I think, kind of like me, are of the mindset, dude, he made this organization relevant. He did sign an extension with the Nuggets, too. He wasn't in a rush to get out, but maybe started to see the writing on the wall that, you know, given the current structure of that Nuggets roster, maybe a championship wasn't in the future. And I think that's what he was hanging on for. But he was also a guy that, you know, at the time when he was married to Lala, they wanted to go to New York and she wanted to kind of catapult her career, too. And he wanted to maybe take advantage of being closer to where he went to college and closer to home and building up on his brand. It's not always the right basketball move. Do I wish that he would have changed his mind at that time? Yeah, it was rough, but he could have just waited the rest of the year and then walked in free agency and the Nuggets get absolutely nothing for it. So I think Nuggets should be more thankful than they are. Nuggets fans should be more thankful than they are. I don't know if there's something to fix. I think just some fans are going to always be haters, and I'm just not one of them. 12:55 the time. We got buy or sell coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.